In the latest installment of our collective nightmare, we find ourselves in the midst of a tragic comedy that is the Texas flooding recovery response. Picture this: a natural disaster strikes, and instead of swift action, we get bureaucratic bumbling at its finest. Urban search and rescue teams from across our great nation were left twiddling their thumbs for days as they awaited deployment orders from FEMA. By the time they hit the ground, any hope of finding survivors had long washed away with the floodwaters. The Guadalupe River's surge claimed over 120 lives while federal aid was tangled in red tape. The new rule requiring Kristi Noem to sign off on expenditures added another layer to this circus of inefficiency. This isn't just about slow reaction times. It's about an entire system seemingly designed to fail when it matters most. And what do we hear from those in charge? Denials and deflections. Secretary Noem assures us that resources were deployed faster than ever before, like a magic trick where nothing appears out of the hat. Meanwhile, President Trump strolls through flood-ravaged areas, praising FEMA's response as if he's congratulating them for showing up to work late with coffee stains on their shirts. This is not just incompetence, it's an art form, a masterpiece of governmental dysfunction painted with broad strokes of neglect and indifference. While local responders did their best with what little they had, federal assistance lagged behind like a bad punchline no one asked for. Lawmakers are now calling for investigations into this debacle. But let's be honest, will anything change? In a country where disasters are as common as bad reality TV shows, we still can't seem to figure out how to respond effectively without tripping over our own shoelaces. So here it is, the bleak absurdity laid bare. A system that should protect us leaves us vulnerable, while those in power pat themselves on the back for doing less than nothing. Welcome to America 2025, where even nightmares have become routine.
The tomatoes, the red jewels of our salads and the unsung heroes of our pizzas. But brace yourselves, folks. Tomato prices are about to skyrocket thanks to a 20.9% tariff on Mexican imports. Yes, you heard that right. We're talking about tomatoes here, not gold bars. Imagine telling your grandkids one day that you lived through the great tomato tariff of 2025. Back in my day, you'll say, a caprese salad was a luxury item. It's like living in an alternate universe where the value of your portfolio is measured in pounds of Roma tomatoes. Now, let's think about this for a second. We're imposing tariffs on tomatoes to protect American growers from unfairly priced Mexican imports. Because nothing says America first like charging more for something we already have plenty of, just so we can feel better about it. Meanwhile, restaurant owners like Teresa Razo are considering bankruptcy because they can't afford to charge $50 for a margarita pizza without losing their entire customer base. And why? Because apparently, we've decided that geopolitical chess games should be played with ingredients from our salads. But don't worry, some companies are dodging the bullet by using US-grown tomatoes. Heinz ketchup is still safe for now, so at least your burger won't suffer as much as your wallet will. And let's spare a thought for Justin DeLeon over at Apollonia's Pizzeria, who might just eat those extra costs rather than pass them on to his customers. Imagine explaining that decision at the next board meeting. No profits this quarter, but hey, we're heroes in tomato ethics. In today's world, we've got bigger issues than ever before. Climate change, global pandemics. But it's comforting to know we're still arguing over fruit prices like it's 1929 all over again. So next time you're biting into a BLT or slurping down some spaghetti marinara, remember, somewhere out there is someone trying to figure out how much more they can charge you before you start growing your own tomatoes on your balcony garden. Bon appetit.
Ah, the delightful dance of espionage and retribution continues in our beloved modern world. Welcome to today's Daily Dose of Dystopia, where we bring you the latest updates from a saga that reads like a dystopian thriller, only it's happening right here on planet Earth. No need for fiction when reality is this riveting. In Kyiv, Ukraine's Security Service, SBU, has added another chapter to the ongoing spectacle by eliminating two Russian special service agents. These agents were allegedly responsible for the assassination of SBU officer Ivan Voronich, a name now etched into the annals of geopolitical intrigue. The suspects, a man and a woman, attempted to play hide-and-seek with authorities, but found themselves on the losing end of this grim game. The head of the SBU, Vasyl Malyuk, made sure to deliver his lines with all the gravitas one expects in these scenarios. In what can only be described as an Oscar-worthy performance, filmed in front of their lifeless bodies, he reminded everyone that the only prospect for the enemy on the territory of Ukraine is death. A statement as comforting as it is chilling. Because nothing says peace quite like promising annihilation. The tale thickens with details worthy of any spy novel. Trailing targets, establishing routines, and waiting pistols equipped with silencers at safe houses. Who needs Hollywood when you've got real-life cloak-and-dagger operations unfolding daily? Meanwhile, Russia graciously escalates its attacks on Ukraine. This week alone boasted both the largest and second-largest drone attacks since this conflict began. Now entering its fourth year, without missing a beat, it's almost heartwarming how consistent they are in their efforts to keep tensions high and hopes low. As we watch these events unfold from our comfortable seats far away from missile strikes and assassinations, let's raise our glasses to human ingenuity, the kind that turns international relations into an endless loop of tit-for-tat violence. Because if there's one thing humanity excels at, it's ensuring that history repeats itself with ever more creative ways to ensure mutual destruction. Stay tuned for tomorrow's episode, where we might just learn about yet another thrilling plot twist in this never-ending cycle of chaos.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we explore the absurdity of life with a side of dry humor. Today's topic is gold, inspired by an article from CNN titled South Asian Women. Now, let's ponder the shiny metal that has captivated humanity for millennia, gold. Ah, gold, the glittering object of desire that manages to hold more meaning than our fleeting existence. In the world of Farzana Ghani, every piece of gold she owns holds a memory, a concept that's almost comforting in its predictability. Her jewelry isn't just shiny metal, it's a timeline wrapped around her neck and wrists. Gold coins commemorate life's milestones like birth and pilgrimage because nothing says I was born quite like a chunk of precious metal. But why do we invest so much emotional energy into these gleaming trinkets? Perhaps it's because they're one of the few things guaranteed to outlast us. Unlike cash or bonds, which can evaporate faster than your will to live on a Monday morning, gold persists. It's been around since humans first decided they needed something pretty to distract them from their inevitable demise. In South Asia, gold isn't just an investment. It's a cultural staple as essential as existential dread during your midlife crisis. Brides are adorned with enough gold to make even Midas jealous. It's not just about looking good on your wedding day. It's about ensuring you have something tangible when everything else falls apart. Interestingly enough, President Donald Trump's trade antics have sent gold prices soaring. Who knew chaos could be so profitable? While some might see this as unsettling, others find solace in knowing that at least their investments are thriving, even if their mental health isn't. As we navigate through this golden frenzy, it seems everyone wants a piece of the action. From central banks hoarding bullion like dragons guarding treasure, to millennials updating grandma's heirlooms into pieces they can wear without dislocating a shoulder. So what's the takeaway here? Maybe it's this. In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme and sanity is as elusive as Bigfoot riding a unicorn, perhaps clinging to something solid, like gold, isn't such a bad idea after all. After all, when everything else turns to dust, including us, those little nuggets will still be there, mocking our transient nature with their eternal shine. And thus concludes today's existential musings on the Existential Crisis Hour. Remember, folks, life may be short and unpredictable, but at least you can always count on your jewelry collection for some semblance of permanence, or not.
The capitalist's fever dream unfolds as the European Union extends its theatrical pause on retaliatory trade measures against the United States. An act of diplomacy or a mere intermission in an endless cycle of economic brinkmanship? The EU, with all its pomp and circumstance, delays its countermeasures until August. Meanwhile, President Trump brandishes his tariffs like a sledgehammer over European exports, threatening to impose a 30% levy come August 1st if no agreement is reached. This dance of delay and threat exemplifies the absurdity inherent in our global marketplace, a system where nations volley threats across oceans while citizens brace for the impact on their livelihoods. The EU, playing its part in this tragicomedy, suspends countermeasures on $25 billion worth of U.S. goods, an exercise in futility as they prepare yet another list of potential reprisals. A second act of vengeance lies coiled and ready, should negotiations falter.
In this capitalist fever dream, negotiations masquerade as solutions, while both sides sharpen their economic weapons behind closed doors. Von der Leyen speaks with diplomatic grace about openness and fair trading practices, as if these concepts hold any weight amid the chaos of tariffs and counter-tariffs. Her words echo hollowly through the corridors of power, where profit reigns supreme. As trade representatives shuffle papers and perfect their poker faces, one cannot help but marvel at the sheer audacity of a system that prioritizes profit over people. This grand spectacle reveals itself not as a measured pursuit of mutual benefit, but rather a gladiatorial contest, where economies clash for supremacy under the guise of negotiation. And so it continues. The relentless pursuit of profit-driving nations to absurd lengths, while citizens watch from the sidelines, caught in an unending loop dictated by those who wield economic might like a weapon. In this dystopian reality, every tariff threatens more than just balance sheets. It chips away at the very fabric holding societies together. The fever dream persists, a world teetering on collapse yet marching forward undeterred by reason or consequence, all for the sake of capital's insatiable hunger.